Exodus chapter number 12, as we enter into this week. I believed it would be appropriate to be able to remember this time as we prepare going into, and I know some, and I expect it to start probably on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then the social media argument is going to get started on was Jesus crucified on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday? And so then they'll bicker about that usually all week long, and then they'll forget to celebrate that actually he did die and was buried and rose again. And so I don't fall out of sorts about which day, and realizing that the days are different over in Israel than what they are here and when they're starting. And I've heard great arguments and reasons for all 3 days except for Tuesday. And so we're backing it up. But I thought it would be appropriate just to be able to go back for a reminder this afternoon about Christ, and looking back in Exodus chapter number 12 about him being the Passover lamb. And so Exodus chapter 12, begin reading in verse number 21. Of course, instructions start all the way back at the beginning of the chapter of Scripture. But verse number 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And of course, in verse number 29, you have the midnight and the Lord passes through the land of Egypt. What has taken place here in Exodus chapter 12 is we are coming to the end of the 10 plagues that God has instituted upon the nation of Egypt because of their rebellion, because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart to not let the people go. And may I remind us, in some many of the cases, that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh for the people not to go, for God to be able to show himself strong and reveal to Pharaoh and to Egypt, and I believe even to the nation of Israel, to reveal to them who the great I Am is and who God Jehovah is. They come to the end of the plagues, and God is using this 10th plague not just to punish the nation of Egypt and those and the slaying of the firstborn, but also to establish a remembrance that is going to be observed down through the years that we just read about. We'll say more about it in just a moment, that God is using this to establish it, and he's calling this the Passover. And we see it specifically where he said it in verse number 21 at the end of it, that you draw you and take you out a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And so that lamb that was being slain, just to be able to understand what's taking place here, this lamb was set aside, was brought in, and then at the appointed time, now this lamb, if you want to go back and read about it, it did have to be without spot, without blemish, and nothing wrong. You could not take the worst one that you had and say, well, we're not going to get much money for this one, and so we'll sacrifice this. It wasn't like we treat the Lord today and give him our worst and give him our leftovers and give him maybe what nobody else desires. It was take the best. And this is what the Lord was requiring. Bring the lamb in, take care of it and nourish it. Make sure everything's okay at the appointed time. Kill the Passover. Catch the blood. The Bible says the blood that was in the basin. Now, I'll remind us of this. They were to cook the lamb. They were to eat the lamb. They were to have the fixings to be able to go with it. You can read back through there. We're not going to get into every aspect of the Passover meal, but kill the lamb and then take a bunch of hyssop and then dip it in the blood that was caught from this lamb. And the Bible says you're supposed to go out and you're supposed to hit the top of the door and the two side posts. And that was going to be the symbol as the Lord, the Bible says that he was passing through the land that night. And as the Lord came through and he would see the blood that was applied upon the top of the door and the two side posts, that the Bible says that he would pass over. And that's why this entire thing is called the Passover. And so this was going to be the final step in the deliverance of the nation of Israel out of bondage and the nation of Egypt. So as you read down through, can you imagine what this week was like? As they would gather these lambs, they would bring them in. All the anticipation that was leading up to this night, all the hope that was leading up, because you know, Moses had stood before the people and said, okay, here comes another plague. And I'm sure the people thought, this has got to be the one. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I saw a river turn to blood and it was told to me, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel hath done this, I think I would be sitting back saying, you know, he's a little more powerful than I am. I think if he were able to make frogs inhabit the whole land, I think that I would start realizing something. I think if the locusts were coming through, I think if the hail was coming down, I think if all these things were happening at some point, I think I'd say enough's enough. There's a man that wrote a song several years ago on One More Night with the Frogs. Anybody ever hear that song? You've heard that? I love that song. One More Night with the Stinking Frogs. One More Night in Sin. And so that's what Pharaoh said. Here's his land is infested with frogs. And he said, why don't you come back tomorrow and we'll talk about it? And I'm like, why would you spend one more night sleeping with the frogs in your house, in your sheets, in your bed? Finally, it comes down to this final plague that is the death of the firstborn. But God is using, and I want you to catch this, God is using what turned out to be an absolute tragedy in some people's lives to be a memorial and a remembrance for years to come that they still celebrate this night. Even with all the weeping and I would say gnashing of teeth, everything and the death that took place across that, can you imagine how it was as they sat down? And can I remind us of this? This had never taken place before. And so by faith, all of this is being done. By faith, the blood is being applied. By faith, the family is sitting down saying, we've done what the Lord told us to do, and now we wait on the Lord. Now, they knew what God was capable of. Don't you think they made sure that the blood was put where God said to put it? Don't you think they followed that? Because there'd been 9 previous plagues that they had seen the power of God evident across the land. I'm talking to the point that there was a divider of light and darkness. Darkness dwelling upon the face of Egypt, but light over here for the nation, for the camps of Israel. Don't you think by this point they're saying, Dad, make sure you do that right. We've seen the power of God. We've seen all this take place. And Dad, now listen, you didn't misunderstand Moses, did you? And Moses takes it to the elders and tells the elders, this is what I want you to do. And then they go and tell all the people. And boy, I'm sure they made sure that communication was right through all of this. They sit down that night after the lamb had been slain. They sit down to be able to eat that meal. May I remind us that they're actually eating with their sandals on. They're ready to go. They sit down to be able to eat. The blood's been applied. And all they can do at this point is trust the word of the Lord. That's all they can do, is just trust the word of the Lord. They sit down and eat. And I wonder how far away, and I will not try to dramatize this, but I wonder how far away the first cry is from inside an Egyptian's household. I wonder how far away the cry was maybe from an Israelite household that said, oh, we've heard all this before, and there's been 9 other plagues, and we're still not able to go. I'm not following Moses anymore in what he tells us the Lord told him. I wonder how far away the first cry was. Eventually, the death of the firstborn that we read about through here makes its way all the way to Pharaoh's household. And it's during that night, the Bible starts talking about just after midnight, that the Lord is moving through the land, finds his way into Pharaoh's household. And now you have the weeping from Pharaoh and his wife over the death of the firstborn. It's at that point, and I'm just summarizing and condensing the story, that Pharaoh calls in Moses and says, enough is enough. Get out of the land. We know that they were able to spoil the land. They were able to go in. The Egyptians literally were paying them to leave. You need gold, take it and go. You need silver, take it and go. You need possessions, whatever you need. They spoiled the Egyptians, loaded up. Now listen, they had their shoes on ready to go. There's a great lesson there. We'll get to it in just a moment. They were packed up at a moment's notice to be able to leave. They spoiled the Egyptians. They packed things up. And they're leaving. The day has come that for over 400 years they've heard about. God's going to send a deliverer. They grabbed the bones of Joseph. We won't get into that. But they grabbed the bones of Joseph because Joseph said, hey, I'm dying here. But yet when God delivers you, the promise was already there over 400 years earlier. When God delivers you out of this land, take my bones with you because I don't want to just stay here. And they took the bone, grabbed the bones of Joseph. I wonder who it was that night in the middle of the night that said, hey, don't forget Joseph. Don't forget Joseph. Take his bones, they pack up and leave. You say, what's the significance of all of this? Can I say this week, they will actually once again celebrate what we just read down through here, that there are children that will be asking the question, what mean ye by this service? There will be Jewish folks around this world that they will be celebrating. In fact, if you trace this through, it is very much believed that that night, the Last Supper, as the Lord Jesus Christ sat down with his disciples that night, that they were partaking and celebrating this very meal. the Passover and remembering. You say, what's the significance of it? I'm not Jewish. No. And we don't celebrate. We got good friends of ours that will celebrate the Passover as they go through. And it is amazing how they have celebrated this for centuries now, not realizing that about 2,000 years ago, that there was a lamb that was born. Now, the spiritual application of it and where we apply this is not to go out, and I'm not saying go find a lamb farm somewhere and get yourself a Passover here pretty shortly and be able to kill that and eat it with your shoes on. And I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm not Jewish. I don't need to observe that and celebrate that, but it does do us good to be able to understand it, because can I say all of this that we just read and explained all the way down through here points to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was centuries later that a lamb was born. And I know that he wasn't necessarily born, and I don't get bent out of shape on this, that he wasn't necessarily born on December 25th. Listen, if you get worked up over all that and say, I don't think we ought to be celebrating Christmas, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Is it right to celebrate and exalt the birth of our Savior? I'll just be honest with you. It doesn't matter what day. I think we ought to celebrate it more and more throughout the year that our Savior was born. Well, do you really think that Jesus rose from the dead on March the 31st? Last year we celebrated that he rose from the dead the middle of April. If they could just get it right. Can I say this? I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about what day he actually got up and walked out of that grave. I do know it was the first day of the week, and that's why I go to church on Sunday, is celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But I will say this, I'm going to take full advantage of the world pausing around this day they call Easter. The resurrection day, the celebration. I understand they try to make it more about a bunny rabbit than they do about the Savior. And I've never understood that, except it's taken the attention away from Jesus, I believe is intentionally what's being done there. I don't get bent out of shape about it. Reason being is because, listen, the conversations are wide open to be able to start talking about Easter and resurrection. And listen, I didn't have a problem with Matthew Frank putting Easter eggs on the front of his gospel track, because it's getting some attention to be able to say, what is Easter all about? It's not about a bunny laying eggs, okay? Come on down to the farm and you'll realize that. Who was the first one that did the Cadbury Easter eggs anyway? You know they didn't grow up on a farm. And I look back over Passover, and I want to remind us of this. There's some great truths that I just want to remind us about with Jesus being the sacrifice. I want you to know that Jesus was chosen the same way long before a lamb was ever drawn out from the herd. That Jesus was chosen, John said over in Revelation, that he saw a lamb seated there upon the throne, a lamb as he had been slain since the foundation of the world. May I say that long before there was ever a sin problem here on this earth, long before there was ever the physical need for a sacrifice to be made, there was already a lamb that was picked out. There was already a sacrifice long before Adam and Eve, and they committed that first sin that was there in the Garden of Eden, the first sin that was committed here on earth. Long before all of that, God already had the sacrifice planned. God already had the lamb that was set aside, and it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, was it enough that just the lamb was slain? No, but we read the instructions that had to take place here, that there had to be something special about the blood. You say, why is that? That's just how God planned it. This was a physical manifestation and resemblance of what was taking place. And he said, I want you to take that blood and all the way through. Listen, and from here on out, we see this blood being applied. He said, I want you to take this blood and I want you to put it on the top and I want you to put it on the sides here. And when I see the blood, we sing a song like that. I'll pass over you when I see the blood. Can you imagine how it was when God was passing through the camps there in Israel and throughout Egypt that night on the satisfaction that came from God's side on judgment when he saw the blood and said, I don't have to enter into that household. When he said, there's one that's been spared because of the blood. Now imagine how it is when God looks over us and he sees our soul and he sees the blood of Christ that's been applied to our souls and says, that's one of mine right there. You know what identifies each and every one of us? It's none other than the blood of Christ. You see, just as this lamb had to die in this very special way, was the same way that Jesus, as it was said, that he had to die. He couldn't be hung. He couldn't be thrown off a cliff. He had to hang on a tree and on a cross and had to shed his blood. Why? So that that blood could be applied for each and every one of us. Listen, when we look at that, and I very much doubt that the nation of Israel truly understood all that was taking place. I believe at this point, they're following instructions. At this point, they're saying, we've learned our lesson. We've had 9 plagues. What Moses has said, it's coming true. And we're going to put the blood on the doorpost. We're going to eat it how God said to eat it. And God gave it through Moses and gave it to the elders. We're just going to follow that as God said to do it. Little did they know that it was all a picture of Jesus that would be coming a few thousand years later and hang on an old rugged cross. But you know something, not just hang on an old rugged cross, be taken down, be put. Here's where the story it departs ways. Is that lamb was eaten and consumed, never to be heard from again. We have a Savior that made that sacrifice, that sacrificial lamb for each and every one of us. But 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. Never, never to have to suffer that sacrifice ever again. But this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Where did it all start? Back here at Passover, when they sat around. Now, can I encourage us with a couple things here? One, this message of the Passover is good enough and strong enough that it needs to be handed down from generation to generation. You say, what do you mean? Well, do you understand? And it was put in here that there's going to be some children that would come along and say, what mean ye by this service? It's an interesting thought, and you can study it through the scripture on how many times the next generation comes along and says, what mean ye by this? What mean ye by this service? What mean ye by these stones? You can go study that out and have a good time. Brother Jordan's not in here. I was giving him a free message. You can go study out and be able to preach. The next generation coming along. Now listen, they would do this year after year after year out of remembrance of the deliverance that God gave to them that night. Can I remind us that the message is still just as good today to be able to pass down from one generation to the next? Now listen, I'm not talking about going and killing a lamb and putting the blood up on the doorpost, but I am saying the sacrifice that Christ made, listen, it's not just good enough for my generation, but it's good enough for the next generation to be able to hear of it. And then year after year after year, day after day, and week after week, it is okay to be able to go back and remember the sacrifice that was made that literally on that day delivered them. And I thought, how many times, you know, you wonder why we have testimony times. You wonder why there's times that we say, hey, when was it that you trusted Christ as your Savior? All we're doing is spiritually what they were doing physically. After this deliverance, Moses looked at the people and said, remember this day. And do you understand what we're doing when we talk about the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for each and every one of us? Listen, it's not just saying, hey, wasn't that a good time? Because there was great grief that took place. I've heard the songs that have been written maybe about how it was that night that what Dad had to take was actually that little boy's lamb. That he was raising up and saying, why is it my lamb? Because that's the best one. because that's without spot, without blemish. And listen, God gave his only begotten son. Now, why did God choose that? There wasn't a sacrifice that was sufficient outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read about these things and we hear about them and we say, what is it about that lamb? It's just a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we remember that this message that it is for this next generation is still good enough to be able to be passed on to the next generation. Can you imagine if we didn't have any hope whatsoever to pass on to this next generation? If we had none. I mean, if we had to look at the Jones back here and say, man, I'm just really sorry you brought that little girl into this world. I'm not. What an opportunity to be able to show them how great God is. Don't ever feel sorry for a family that's trying to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and show them how big God is and the sacrifice that Christ has made for them. And I just want to remind us today that, listen, this sacrifice is just as well to be able to remember. But then can I remind us of this too? And I love this phrase that in verse number 27, that when they're explaining this, that they shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And look what the people did here in response to the sacrifice that was made and the message that was put out there. The Bible says, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. You say, why is that? It was just a little lamb that was sacrificed there. Oh, it was a whole lot bigger than just a little lamb that was being sacrificed there. It was so much more than just that message that was put and say, oh, God delivered us here. No, they bowed their head upon that message and worshiped the Lord. Can I remind us today that he's still worthy to be worshiped? He's still worthy to be worshiped. You say, why is that? There's no one that has sacrificed for you the way that Jesus has. There's no one that has laid his life down. There is no one that took it back up that is worthy of all of our sacrifice and honor and glory and praise. Can I tie it back in to my message this morning in 1 Timothy chapter number 6? And I stopped before I got to this verse. In 1 Timothy 6, at the end of verse number 16, says, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. At the end of that, who? Our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, the one that laid down his life for us, that sacrifice. You say, well, why did that all take place? That's just how God designed it. That's just what God chose. And then over and over and over, starting at this point, lamb after lamb after lamb was slain. Until there was one that was slain. And this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, listen, we read about it in the book of Hebrews. If the blood of bulls and goats and of sheep and lamb and turtle doves, if all of that could satisfy God for eternity, it would have. But it couldn't. And he said, I want you to remember this. And you know, there'll be people that'll gather around and they'll go through this, the letter of the law, to remember Passover. And not once realize that it's all been taken care of and it's in Jesus. But you know something? Before we say, boy, they're just blinded, I'll remind us of this. I wonder how many people go through their Christian life and you'll gather together today on what started out as a snowy Sunday morning, an icy Sunday morning, a no power Sunday morning, and we'll assemble together and you'll go through motions and never once truly realizing and bowing our heads to be able to worship our Savior because of the sacrifice that he's made for us. Realizing everything is done, that it's all been fulfilled. And listen, I'm so thankful. I know there's still sin in people's lives. You say, Pastor, are you trying to point them out right now? No, but I could start naming yours and you could probably start naming mine. You know what makes the difference? Is I'm so thankful that when the sin is under the blood. Now, I'm not saying there's no judgment for that sin, because Jesus took my judgment. And Jesus took the wrath of God being poured out upon him. But I will remind us of this. I don't have to face that judgment. And oh, that peace that came through this entire process of the sacrifice, that all they simply did, and I'll close with this, all they simply did was rest and have peace in what the Word of God said. What God told them. Do you understand if their firstborn had passed away that night, that they would have been able to say, God, you are wrong. But I firmly believe this. I believe everyone that had the blood applied exactly how God said to have it applied, I believe they were all delivered. Now, let me ask you something. Was there any respective persons in the nation of Egypt or with the nation of Israel throughout that time? No. It wasn't based on social class. It wasn't based on you're allowed to put it on, but you're not. It wasn't based on that. Do you understand that night that anybody that had the blood of Christ applied, had the blood of the Lamb applied to that door, any person, any household that had the blood applied was delivered. You say, what's that mean in 2024? Anybody. Anybody. The blood can still be applied to you, to anybody we come in contact with. Oh no, they're a different social class than I am. Blood still works. It does. You say, I don't know. That's just not as nice of a house. Doesn't matter. When the blood's applied, doesn't matter who it's applied to, it still works. And there's nobody that can't have the blood of Christ applied. And I want to remind us of a few things as we go into Easter celebration, Resurrection Sunday. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's someday this next week, next month or something, that actual Passover starts for the nation of Israel. But what a time to be able to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made and thank God for the blood. You say, I don't know, that bloody religion that's there, that's just what God chose and showed it all the way down through history. The blood's applied. Aren't you thankful for the day that you can remember the day that he delivered you? I guarantee you, the first time that next year that they sat down, listen, they weren't in the promised land, they were wandering in the wilderness, but when they sat down that next year, were they where they wanted to be? No. Was everything perfect? No. But you know what they did? They sat down and remembered, we've been delivered. And you know what's good for us every once in a while? Are you where you want to be? Maybe not necessarily. Is everything perfect? No. But you know something? We can rejoice and we can celebrate. We've been delivered. I may not be where and what I want to be completely for the Lord, but I will say this. I'm not sitting in Egypt today. At least we've been delivered. And I want us to remember the sacrifice of the Lord and the Passover. That little lamb, every one of them, took the place of the firstborn in every household. The same way Jesus took our place. Don't ever get over that. Don't ever forget about that. You say, why? Why that lamb? Why would that have? Just a substitute. And that's what Jesus did for us. Don't get past the Passover and what Jesus did. He's our Passover lamb. Remember that. Hold on to it. Cherish the message and remember the day that you were delivered.